Hello and welcome to our program. We continue today in Philippians chapter 1. We'll be in verse 9. Paul said this, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. Again, in Philippians 1, verse 9, Paul said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. The subject of love, all of that verse has to be taken together. You need to love in knowledge, he said, and in judgment or discernment. We need to discern some things about love. We're going to look at it in depth here as we continue, but first let's listen to this message and song that talks about the love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. Reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song.
Paul had a very special love for the Christians at Philippi. In verses 3 through 5, he wrote, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul referred to them as 1, my brethren, dearly beloved, 2, longed for, number 3, my joy and my crown. Then he said, dearly beloved, and then he said, true yoke fellows and my fellow laborers. Paul had a special love for these Christians at Philippi. Yet in spite of their great love for each other, Paul prayed that their love would abound more and more In knowledge, that's simply an accumulation of information. We want to learn about love, we got to accumulate some information from the Bible to see what it says. The Bible says there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Then he says in all, not only in knowledge, but in all judgment or discernment. Now, the fact is that love needs to be cultivated. Loving one another will not just happen automatically. That is why the commandment to love one another is repeated over and over in the Word of God. 1 John 13:34, John 15:12, John 15:17, Romans 13:8. They all say love one another. 1 Peter 1:22, love one another. 1 John 3:11, 1 John 3:23, chapter 4, verse 7, and again in verse 11 and verse 12. In 1 John, it says, love one another. 2 John 1:5, love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, love one another. So love doesn't just happen. It's mentioned over and over again because love needs to be cultivated. You don't meet someone and say, hey, ho, how are you? And then meet them for the second time 5 years later and say, boy, I really love you. Love comes as a result of cultivating love. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Romans 12:10 talks about brotherly love. Again, in Romans 13:8, it says, love one another. In Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. In Ephesians 3, and verse number 9, it says, know the love of Christ. Then Ephesians 4:2, it says, forbearing one another in love. Husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25. And then Hebrews 10:24, it says, provoke one another unto love. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Titus 2:4, teach the young women to love their children. So there's a lot in the Bible about the subject of love. Our Lord's final message was about understanding love. He said in John chapter 15, verse number 17, he said, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, Christ did not say, I command you to love one another. It is not possible to love on command. Love is much deeper than that. Jesus said, these things I command you, in order that ye will love one another. In other words, if you do these things, the byproduct of doing these things is you will love one another. Now, the things that Jesus was talking about in John begin in chapter 13. And he said, if ye know these things, happy are you if ye do them. The little word if is used in various ways in the scripture, and here it is used in the same sense as John chapter 7, verse 17, where Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know, or come to learn, of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So God opens the understanding to those who will do his will. Now, a careful study of these things that Jesus spoke about with the purpose of making those things the most important part of our being will result in us loving one another. Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. John 15, verse number 10. John 13:1 tells us that Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Now, the end here means the point upon which something cannot extend. He loved them as much as it was possible to love them. And as a result of that love, we read, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are you if ye do them. The word love in this verse is in the Greek agape, and it refers to an undeserved love. Jesus said, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" When I was first saved as a 12-year-old boy, I was reading the Bible, and I said there that God said, "Let us make man in our image." I read that, I thought, who's he talking to? Well, as I studied the Bible, I found out that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity was having a meeting, and they said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, if we're made in his image, we're also a Trinity. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. A body's what we live in. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the spirit of man is that part that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He does not bear witness with our mind or our emotions. He bears witness with our spirit. Now, Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, you can speak with the tongues of men, you can speak with the tongues of angels, but if you do not have agape love, he said, I'm just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So he said, "Though I speak." As pastors, we speak. With our speaking, we can move people emotionally and sometimes make them cry and sometimes make them laugh. Others, we can move mentally and get them to change what they were going to do what we want them to do. Only agape love will change a person's spirit, and Christians are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4 and 23. So preaching is not the key. Love is the key that leads Christians to be renewed in their spirit. Paul said we are to be rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17. Following that, we read of being renewed in the spirit of your mind in verse 23. To change a person's will is not the answer. People are to be renewed in the spirit. And the way to do that, according to the Bible, is with love. It says in Ephesians 4:2, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. Ephesians 5:25, love your wives. And then Ephesians 6:23, we're to love with faith. These verses are all talking about agape type of love. Now, agape was in the Greek language, and yet no unsaved writer ever used it. Perhaps it was for this reason the Holy Spirit chose this word for genuine Christian love. It is free from any sensual overtones common to the Greek words. Agape is one of the greatest words used in the New Testament. Now, the Greek word agape is usually translated love, but sometimes, like here, it's translated charity. Why the word charity? Well, a charity, such as the Red Cross Society, does something with the money they collect, and they do it for people who do not earn it or have done anything to deserve it. They do it expecting nothing in return, and that is called charity. Charity, or agape love, is not just a feeling for people or telling people you love them. The Bible says, "Though I speak and have not charity," agape love, "I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." The Word of God says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 8 that we are to prove the sincerity of our love. Now, speaking without proving the sincerity of our love is as useless as an annoying noise. It's like getting a pair of cymbals and trying to play "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" on them. It's just not going to come out right. Christ said in Matthew 15, verse number 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, it is interesting that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, God wrote to the pastor here, and not the people. He wrote to the pastor. Notice it carefully. Every one of the seven letters was addressed to the pastor. And he said to the pastor, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now notice it does not say the pastor lost his first love, as it's usually quoted. It's not what it says. It says he left it. To lose something might be excusable. However, to leave something is to make a conscious decision. The word left here means to depart from one place or position to go to another. The Ephesian church failed because their pastor left his first love. He made a conscious decision, and the problem here was not the people. The problem was not the program. The problem was the pastor.
By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more, so much more of my life than I ever gave. Thank you.